Well, welcome, 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 Rugby League Sands.
Don't you mean what is up, Kangaroo Chasers?
What?
What's going on, man?
Whose show is this? Is this my show or your show?
Dude, this is your show. I am just grateful to be here with the Ray Warren of Rugby, American Rugby League himself. Like, this is just such a moment for me. You don't understand. It's amazing.
Right. The Ray Warren. Yeah. Don Carboni, the illustrious Don Carboni of International Rugby League, known throughout the world on my podcast.
Or, look, I mean,
we're on your channel, so that's the whole, how does this work? Whose channel is it really?
Look, it's our channel. You've been carrying the channel for the last year. Whilst I've been kind of, I guess, on hiatus or on holidays, and the term Don Carboni, I mean, I'm called Carbs, I'm called Mike, but Don Carboni is synonymous with the American fans. So any American listeners of Chasing Kangaroos, Don Carboni. So love it.
Everybody calls you Don Carboni. It's the Godfather reference. I mean, we have to, like, you know, I think I want to say it was Jim that started calling you Don Carboni, or maybe it was both a combination of he and I, like, off, you know, not recording. We're like, oh, we gotta talk to Don Carboni. I'm like, wait, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know how it happened. It's a little bit stereotypical, but hey, I love it. It's fantastic. It's
okay. Listen, like, I've got Italian family. We know how it works. What's going on, brother? You doing good?
Man,
it's nice to hear you back on the airwaves again. I just want to point that out.
Look, there's been, I think when I, I think I took about a year off and things were just getting really negative in the international rugby league world. There was a lot of hate amongst fans and friends. Yeah. And you know, we had things like World Cups being cancelled and postponed and all sorts of things happening. So I just needed to step away. It wasn't fun doing this anymore. But I got to say, the lead up to Vegas, things have just been fun again. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to try it a little bit differently. So that the format has been different for anyone that has been listening to the Facebook Lives, which I now release on the channel, Chasing Kangaroos Live. And I've been having a lot of fun doing it. So let's keep going for as long as it's fun and keep building this international rugby league community.
Oh, I thought it was great because I want to say it was the week of Vegas, like maybe like a couple, like 2 or 3 days after, I get a notification. This is, you know, because on my phone, I want to make sure that, you know, our episodes drop, and when they drop, we can post on social media and stuff. And I get a notification. Yeah. It says your episode is now live. And I went,
huh?
What the hell? What the hell's recording? I mean, because you did the Facebook Live at nighttime, like my nighttime, like 3 o'clock in the morning, which not happening for me, and so I was like, well, I'm not joining that.
Yeah.
But then I saw it later, it's like JC Kangaroos was live. I was like, oh shit, Carbs is back, and I wanted to run like through the streets and yelling back.
I'm glad you were excited, man. But that's what I'm trying to do.
Only once.
No, look, I'm not going to say there are thousands of screaming fans, but I have had a lot of love, and the whole sort of year that I was off, every like couple of days there'd be someone reaching out and saying, hey, when are you doing this again, or what's going on, or where have you been, or are you coming back? And I was not surprised by the love. The community, the Chasing Kangaroos family, has always been amazing, and you would see it as well with the Rugby League in America family. Like, such a great group of people. The community keeps growing, and there's no more passionate international rugby league fan. So, but just to hear people, you know, I started off with a few little TikToks and Instagram reels, and, you know,
That's right. I remember that.
Some of the comments are just like, oh man, just great to hear you again. And there was a lot of DMs happening, and it was really nice. So it is good to be back. I'm trying to record Facebook Lives every Monday at 8:15 PM Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time for the next couple of weeks. It'll be back to normal time soon. And the whole point of that is, look, it's probably going to be mostly me talking to myself, but if I can do it in a Facebook Live format, then listeners can jump on, ask questions, be a part of it. I can sound like I'm having a conversation, and then I can rip that audio straight onto the podcast, and anyone, yourself, instead of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, Dustin, you can jump on and listen to it on your way or driving to the gym or whatever you're doing in the morning, going for a jog, mate. So it's awesome fun.
You're making it sound like I need to go to the gym and get in shape and stuff.
I just know that, mate, you could have been playing Masters at Vegas. You should have. You're fit enough. And mate, I know you're keeping playing. Active.
Not playing Masters in Vegas. I was calling the championship game. Well, let's see. Masters started at 3:45 Vegas time. So that was just getting, that was the women's championship game, you know, the all Canada final. And then it was the game between the Roots and the Immortals, which, yeah, what a game.
How was the call, man? Because your voice must have disappeared by the end. You were calling for like 2 days straight.
It was awful. Because then by the time, okay, but I wouldn't say awful in the sense that like day one was pretty bad. I had some great people who really helped out. We had quote unquote volunteers who decided not to volunteer and not tell me. So from a streaming perspective, the original goal was to do all three fields, right? And we'd have a camera on one. We had an internet connection with what do they call it? With like a DJI, and it would just it auto tracks. So we had set it to track each game, the referee, and it would just follow the referee wherever he went, because that would give you the best.
That's sense very cool.
Like where, yeah. So we got up there, we started working on it, and for like this was our field two camera. So for some reason on field two, it just like it wouldn't connect to YouTube. Like it would only record, but it wouldn't connect to our YouTube live stream, and we couldn't figure out how to get it to work. Like we tried, oh my God, we tried so long to try to get it to work, but we also had two other fields to set up. Our field two camera couldn't get someone to man the camera to turn it left and right, because you know it's too hard for people to volunteer to do that, you know, especially when they don't show up, and you know. But we were trying to get it to work and just record left to right to do that. And we had it hooked up to someone's cell phone and a computer so we could do it that way. Couldn't get that camera to work either. Don't know what happened. Again, this was done on zero budget. So everybody that was like, oh, the quality's bad and everything else bad, is like, you wouldn't have gotten it if we weren't there. Like, didn't really get paid to do it. We got no budget. Like, we're just piecemealing like cameras and stuff together. So that's what left us on our field one camera, which is our, like the main, it's the championship field. It was the nicest one. We had like snow capped mountains in the background and, you know, all the cars passing by too, but that was still, but that was, it was good. I mean, from the grand scheme of things, you know, we had some issues. I mean, we were streaming to, we streamed from my phone that we were using to the NRL headquarters, and the NRL headquarters was splitting it off to run back to Rugby League in America. And we're doing the stream key to run to the NRL YouTube channel as well. So from the logistics standpoint, it was absolutely insanity. We finally figured out our camera issues on day two, but yeah. But from an audio, from recording, I had some people come in and step up, and you know, we had Chad Cooper who works with PCRL. He did some great stuff. I just forgot his name too. Who works with Cleveland Rugby League, who you're wearing right now.
Not Monty.
No, it was not Monty. It was, oh God, man, I feel so bad. This is the early morning brain for me right now. By the way, it's late for carbs and early for me. So that's why this is the only way we could record this. I can't remember his name. I'll say in the comments later, but yeah, big thanks to him because he operated camera. He came in, stepped up some calls because we didn't even have camera operators. Like we were just trying to pull people every match. The first camera operator of the Nines, of the first match for the Nines, legendary writer, Brad Walter.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad. So you got to meet Brad in real life. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Brad.
Yeah,
Brad,
he's a top bloke.
Like, Brad and Steve Mascord and everybody else was there. Like, they were great because they were out there involved talking to people. I mean, the Nines was fantastic. We had the 31 teams. We unfortunately had one team or two teams drop out and maybe regretted going over to the LA Sevens, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, we had 2 days of exciting rugby league and then, you know, the international match. But yeah, my voice, oh, Yeah. Peter Jolly, that was another one who,
yeah,
who was also helped out. He was, I mean, to have calls like that. Then day two, we had Paul Gallen and then, you know, Fatty.
Paul Gordon hanging around, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Just calling a match. Calling a women's, was it women's quarterfinal? I think, yeah, it was a women's quarterfinal between, I think it was quarterfinal match. So not only did he call rugby league, he called women's rugby league nines.
It's awesome, man. And hats off to you, man. You did an incredible job. You pulled it together. And I'm sure there's things you do next time or improve on next time. But I'm glad because
you company to do it.
but even like shouldn't, and we can talk a little bit about this, but shouldn't the NRL sort of help out a little bit, you know? Yeah. And I think they didn't know what to expect. I think when they first, when Volandis and Abdo first announced Vegas, it was all about gambling money and blah, 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 blah. I don't think they realize that there is, I know it's not a massive rugby league community, but there is a good rugby league community on the ground there, right? So there would have been, I mean, I heard there was, you know, close to 1,000 people at the Nines and at the International, right? Yeah. So, man, and a lot of those would have been, you know, families and friends of the players, like the Americans, like American rugby league community, because a lot of the Aussies would have been on the strip doing whatever the NRL event was at the time, you know? So the American rugby league community is there. I don't think Volandis and Abdo realize that existed already to a degree, right? And I think towards the end, it was only towards the end leading up to the event that they started talking about, hey, maybe there's some Americans here watching, you know, maybe there's some Americans in the crowd. So I think that, you know, that was just like, they didn't even consider like, hey, you know, there's going to be a US versus Canada match. Hey, the Nines is going to be something kind of special. So I would like to think that next year they put some resources behind it and help you out, man, because you deserve it. You put in the hard yards and you put your money where your mouth is, man. Cause I know back in the day when it was you and Jimmy always bagging out every like team that couldn't get a stream happening. And it's like, you know what? Here we go. 2 days worth of streaming. Yes, there were fuck ups. Yes, there were hiccups. But mate, we got to watch it, and that was incredible, man.
Also, we had live like graphic. Excuse me. We had live like graphic overlays. The original goal. So I can tell you, like, this is what happened when we were talking with, you know, the guys putting on the nine tournament. And yes, there was limited. This was, I mean, what I've told people in, you know, interviews and stuff, and other Aussie and Kiwi radio stations that I've been on. I said, this was a litmus test, you know, not just Vegas and not just the Nines, but the entire thing was really a litmus test. Like, okay, can this really work?
Yeah.
And from a Nines perspective, oh, absolutely. People had a great time. Everybody was coming up and saying, hey, you know, what's going on? And, you know, people were excited just to be out there playing, right? You know, 2 days of Nines is fantastic. And it was, you know, wonderful to see, you know, to put all of this, like Ray said, like on zero budget. Yeah, Jimmy and I, like, we bash teams all the time that put together chat streams. You know, all we did, we had a riser and a camera, and we hooked it up to my computer. And like, I'll post the photos and stuff. Like, people have posted, like, that's all it was. It was just a power outlet and running off. My cell phone company messaged me, like, what is it, 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday? And it was like, you are at 98% of your total. I'm like, oh no. And like, you may see reduction in stream in streaming.
You're like, no. Oh,
shit. I was like, not at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then they get another warning. They're like, you've used this much data. And I'm like, oh my God.
So there you go. You need a telco sponsor for next year. That's, you know what, yeah, I mean? There's just a few little things. Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, you had it right. Like, you talked about the, you know, just kind of testing things out. Like, you had so many fans and people from thousands of people who were watching it. I don't know what the total, I'll go back and look at the total reports, but, you know, I know on our channel alone, we had three or 4,000 people total, like watching, like, total streams. Like, that's not continuous. It would be amazing if it was. But, you know, it doesn't take much. You know, you just have to find, you know, a decent camera. Just like we always had a decent camera or an iPhone on a tripod. I mean, that's the best thing. Like, you can get that, you're going to be good to go for the most part.
And that's it, man. And there's a proof of concept now. Like, the Nines will grow. I have no doubt that USA and Canada will happen again as well next year. They're already talking about it. They're going to make it happen. And it's silly if they don't.
It was a 16-16 tie.
How good? How good? You know?
It's, this broadcast booth, we were like, we go on Golden Point, or like we're
looking. Yeah, what happens
and
next?
Nobody knew. And then Cody Cuthbert, who was the official for the day, just all full time and went, well, that's the end. It was a bit anticlimactic. I mean, not anticlimactic in the sense that, like, you know, the end was very climactic because
we're just not used to it ending in a draw. Yeah, that's right.
I guess we draw. And they're like, oh, okay, thanks everybody for joining us on the stream. So, no, it's all right. No.
And how was Vegas itself? How were the two matches? I mean, I saw you guys having a great time at the bar / your seats.
It looked like, man,
what a great stadium. I just had FOMO the whole time because it was just like all of my feeds were just people and a lot of people that I knew from over there that, you know, people that I haven't met or met in real life, and they're all just there having a great time. And it looked amazing, man. It looked like a lot of fun.
Here's the great thing. Like, if you think about it, like, so what I did is I live in North Carolina, right? There's no rugby league around me. None. I mean, Carolina Storm, like, they started and, you know, they didn't really take off, and they've kind of got the men's to play both union and league a little bit, but not much. There's no rugby league around me. I was in Texas before where there was no rugby league around me, and in the Midwest where there's no rugby league around me. So this was the first time that I met in person everybody.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, and that was, you know, even other people were like, you know, well, I'd never met this person. I've only seen them on Zoom because it's how big the country is, right? Like, and so it would be, you know, all the people, like, oh yeah, you've never met so-and-so. And it's like, not in person, like social media, phone calls, Zoom calls, whatever. Like, that's how I've met 98% of everybody that we've worked with. Lance, you know, who has been on the podcast, who's on the podcast regularly, who is, you know, he called the matches with me. He was in the nightclub with me.
Well, so, that was the first time you met Lance in real life.
First time Lance and I had ever met in real life.
That's insane, man.
Right? Like, it's just, some people are like, no, there's no way. It's like, yeah, first time.
Was Nate Gladden hanging around? Was he around? Or?
Oh, I was in contact with Mr. Nate Gladden. He was not in Vegas, but he was around. We did have a chat before. And I sent him a photo and said, you know, wish you were here. I messaged him a few days prior. And I said, any chance that you may get a last minute flight to Vegas? And he's like, no, I can't. So he's living the mountain man life up in Wyoming. Wyoming. And so, yeah, they've actually got beautiful property if you ever see Kate's social media. But Nate, you know, he's been kind of off the radar a little bit, but he's like, next year I'll be there. He's like, maybe the Dragons will come play. And I was like, probably not, but come next year anyway.
Who knows, man? It's hard to know. I just hope they announce it soon. I think that's important as well. Like, whoever the 100%. Clubs are, let the fans start saving. Maybe we put together some Chasing Kangaroos / Rugby League in America packages and get, you know, a few hundred people over there.
That'd be fantastic.
And if that's the case, I'll have to come. But if the Dragons were there, man, Dragons and Para, let's get them both there because that'll be freaking awesome.
I've heard a whisper, like, people were talking about, like, oh, the top contenders for next year are, what was it? One said the Melbourne Storm, which I met their CEO, and he was a very nice guy. I can see them, like, because they've got a pretty good follow. The Storm have a pretty good following, so especially here in the U.S., what I understand. And then I think, who was the other one that somebody said?
Would have been Panthers. Warriors, too. Panthers, Storm expressed interest. The Warriors just makes a lot of sense because they are cranking at the moment, like three sellouts in their first games this year already. The whole... Man,
as went to the South Island and sold out the South Island.
There's just a real love for the Warriors in New Zealand at the moment. We just keep hearing about it. So, you know, you're adding another 5,000-10,000 fans. Maybe I'm exaggerating because I'm so excited about it, but you're definitely adding some bums on seats.
I don't think 5,000 to 10,000 is an exaggeration. I mean, you look at the event in total, 40,000 fans were there.
And you, because, mate, you were critical, man, because you were like, man, they're not even going to get 20,000, 25. And then all of a sudden it's like, hold on, man. Come on, let's be honest.
I was a little bit, so at the beginning I was a little bit critical, but I said, but I do remember this because I said, I would deem success at getting 20,000 fans, 25,000 fans, sell out a quarter of the Death Star. And that's honestly, that's what I said, or, you know, a third of the Death Star. I felt like at the beginning, it was rough going from a marketing. I mean, you and I are in marketing. We know how it goes. It was rough going. I was like, okay, you've got this event. Like, what else are you, like, what are you planning to do leading up to it? And I think that was, that's, and I'll still say it, it was a miss in some parts.
Yeah.
All the way up to December, and even the December launch was a bit of an issue too. Like, it was, you know, to have something so massive and have this very, very, very slow rollout and slow, like, oh yeah, we're going to go to Vegas. And that's like you said before, like all you heard was like, oh, gambling revenue. And then they're like, okay. Then they get to like December and they're like, oh yeah, ticket sales are going up a little bit. Like, people are excited. Maybe it'll be a little bit more. And then like January, much bigger. And we wrote about it. All right. I wrote about it in the, in Rugby League in America, volume 2 of our magazine. But it was really interesting because after January, then that's when you started seeing like the Russell Crowe video and, you know, UFC and all these things that happened. I was like, if you would have started sooner, you would have gotten, and you know, people complained like, oh, no one advertised. I mean, Jimmy, our man, he's not on Twitter. He's on Facebook and he's very active. Got to get him back on.
But Jimmy back. I miss Jimmy. I know you're listening, brother.
I know.
Jimmy listening. From Boston.
Our favorite masshole.
I feel like there was a little bit of hype in the week leading up. Like, I saw some, like, there was a local TV coverage and stuff like that, perhaps, but they didn't do much. And look, to be honest, the NRL doesn't market that well in Australia. Like, they do. Like, it sounds ridiculous because it's the biggest sport in Australia, right? But shut up, AFL fans, it is. But
you're AFL fans.
But there's a lot we can learn from you guys in your big sports, that's for sure. But there's also this whole, like, yeah, we knew it was happening, but you know, rugby league being rugby league, it's like maybe like something ridiculous will happen and it won't actually go ahead. There was always this feeling that it might not go ahead.
There's always that negativity.
Yeah. But well for obvious reasons, man.
Before we started getting on this podcast, even after the fact that it was a great event.
That's the thing, right? But the vibe, once it happened, there's been this feeling, especially in the Australian rugby league community, like in media, that like we can do anything now as a sport. Like, so I think maybe there was some hesitation because they're like, oh, okay, what if it doesn't work? Or what if something happens and it doesn't go ahead? And you know, because like that Russell Crowe video was freaking awesome, but did it get played anywhere outside of like Australian rugby league social media? Like, was it like, it wasn't on TV for you guys. It wasn't anywhere for you guys.
I think I interviewed some YouTube reaction video guys actually last night, and that episode will probably come out after this one. Super great. And all they saw was like somebody sent them, hey, you should react to this video. I was like, oh, cool. And they became fans and they all went to the game. And like, they're
mad.
Like, so, in that sense, it didn't make it to the mainstream. And I think one of the biggest misses, I want to hear how it is on your end too, right? But I think one of the biggest misses that we had from this event was an advertisement. The week before, or 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, you had the AFC final. Anyway, it was, excuse me, nothing worse than trying to cough while you're recording a podcast. You had the final between the San Francisco 49ers, it was the semifinals, 49ers and the Detroit Lions. It was one of the most watched games ever in American football, from a playoff standpoint. It was on Fox. Just one advertisement on an NFL game, not the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl advertisement is a terrible idea.
What's that? $7 million? No, we're not. That's almost stupid. That's like half an NRL club for a season. So we're not doing that,
right? But an advertisement on regular, like it doesn't even have to be.
What would that be worth? What would a spot be worth on not regular Fox for a game like that?
Well, see, this was regular Fox, but it was a regular, but it was a playoff game. So you know. Maybe 10,000, maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Like, in comparison, pennies to what it you know, what a Super Bowl would bring. Because what it would have done is it would have said, hey, we're on Fox Sports 1 coming up. Lost, you know, all you have to do is like promote the sport. Like, and I think you can do the Russell Crowe. This is football, just not as you know it. Big hits, you know, NRL, Las Vegas, you know.
The video was the video was perfect. Like, honestly, you can't, like, the way the script, just the fact that it's Russell Crowe, the hits. I mean, he mentioned no pads, no helmets, but it wasn't in a cringy sort of way that we hate. You know what I mean? So,
I've said it from the get go. It's like, that is,
it has, he did it well.
No pads, no helmet, no fear, whatever. I was like, please, like, don't use that. Like, American audiences hate that. Like, they'll see that there's no pads and no helmets.
Yeah,
like,
it's obvious, right? Yeah, you guys are fucking crazy. We get it. We see it. But I mean, us. You, that's what you're saying to us. I'm not saying that to you. But I think that
we are crazy too. So that's it.
The ad would have been fine, but I think we should have had, like, and I know whatever you need to engage to get Russell Crowe more involved, but he should have been like on like a media circuit as if he was promoting a new movie. Like, he should have been on like Jimmy Fallon and like whatever.
He was out filming a new movie, which is why.
Fair enough. But can we plan it better for next time? Can we plan it better for next time? Because like, if he's doing that, then they're showing the video, and then maybe you're getting some I would get some ex players across. Some of the players that came across, and you know, Aaron Woods and those guys. Like, okay, fair enough. But maybe like, let's think about like some more outrageous personalities. Like, I was listening to like Willie Mason recently, and love or hate him, like, I feel like American sport fans would really dig his vibe. So if you had guys like, if you had guys like Big Willie, like, I can just imagine like the Fox commentator being like, so they call you Big Willie over there. Like it just would have been fun. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it would have been like, and I'm sure there's a few others like him, right? Just let's get like a bit of a circuit going, talk about it, show the Russell Crowe video. They can reuse that Russell Crowe video next year with new footage, right? Just cut some new footage every time. Yeah. And, just get that hype going, man. I hope that's why we just need to be planned and organized. Let's announce the four teams or the four clubs ASAP, and let's start planning this shit. Let's make sure Rusty doesn't have a movie on next March so that he can jump on the circuit. Has to happen.
And I think, you know, this is part of this this content generation thing that I think the NRL has a couple of issues with, and being able to like reach that broader audience, right? Is that, you know, they had NFL players at the game, you know, on the field, and they're like, great. But what did they do outside of that? Did they post? Yeah. Did they like? Did they share? Were they part of like content sharing for their social media fans? And it wasn't even like the top NFL players. Like, they're good. They're good. But are they the top ones? Nah. It's, most people wouldn't know who they were if they were walking by in the first place. Just like most American fans. Most American, you know, Vegas people didn't know Reese Walsh as he walked by, or Latrell Mitchell as they walked by.
Yeah,
everybody else is going, shocked and awe face. But you know, but you're right. Like, I think, and this is where I go back to saying like this was a litmus test to see if it could be done, right? If this is a viable thing. I think as soon as you walked in, as soon as they started saying, everybody's like, oh, it's like, you know, 30, well, it's like 15,000 Australians. That's fine. 15,000 Australians.
That's brilliant.
5,000, you know, 5,000 Brits came over in you know, in their packages or whatever. That leaves 20,000 people still. Yes, some are expats that live here in the US, but not all of them.
What do you think the breakdown was with that 20,000? I know there's no way of knowing, but like, what do you feel?
I mean, I would probably say 70-30. 70% probably, but I don't know.
70% like, American or 70% expat?
I think 70, I don't know, maybe it's like 60-40% expat versus American.
Yeah, that's still decent, man. Because like 40% of 20,000. 8,000, is that right?
Yeah,
that's late, pretty good. Really. That's pretty good, man.
But we won't know that, right? But what I can tell you is, it even like I saw some people posting and says I didn't even, you know, as they're like, I'm an Aussie and I haven't seen an NRL match in forever. I'm just gonna go.
Yeah,
you know, why not? You know, it felt like being an Australia for a day. But I think, you know, if we're really looking at stuff and what's going on and, you know, all the other kind of bells and whistles that went around it, it's a success. 40,000 people to show up, you know, I think surpassed everybody's expectations. I never, ever expected a sellout, ever.
No one did.
I mean, everybody's like, well, you know, look at all the empty seats at the top. I was like, yeah, they didn't sell those empty seats. They actually only opened up the 300 level the last 3 weeks of the leading up to the matches themselves. And yeah, you had some in the middle. You didn't have any, you know, in the 400 level, which is the very, very top, which is like, but you know, they don't need that. But everything in the bottom two areas were full. I mean, packed to the brim.
Man, so, I would have been happy with 25K, right? Yeah, so
that's what I said at the beginning. Like, you know, if I'm saying like, what's a success look like for me? 25K would have been success.
Yeah. But like, so now next time we've got to get 60, you know what I mean? Let's keep
64,382 is what it's a, that's a weird.
Oh, is that the capacity? That's the capacity.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to 50 next time then. Let's go to 50. But like, there's no reason why, if we're doing this for 5 years at least, then there's no reason why we're not selling it out at the end. And who knows what else is happening in and around it. I think the NRL needs to get behind, like I said, the nines with you guys and the international match with you guys as well, because it just makes so much sense, right? Like, we're going to see. Do you think the event as well? Sorry, I'm jumping on tangents all over the place. But
when you and I jump on our first recording ever, by the way.
Well, this is your show, right? And I'm asking you questions, which is I'm sure that's fine. But
that's fine. I used to do it the other way around. So much.
Yeah, nice you're probably like, hey, you know, look, you didn't tell me what we're going to talk about tonight. I don't know, so I'm not prepared. We're just going to chat. But
we didn't have a plan to begin.
We had no plan. There's never a plan.
Hey, we're
gonna
record.
But we've seen a couple of like clubs, like there's that Brooklyn, is it the New York Women's Club, the Queens? Yeah. They've sort of popped up out of because of the nines, and like there's a bit of talk about others as well. The community's growing because of it. And that can only be the beginning, right? Like that to me is like the best. Well, it's probably the second best part out of it all. I'll tell you what the first best part is in a moment. But the second best part is just seeing new clubs spring up and interested people, you know, like union players that are going, hey, I'm going to try this, or like just people that played other sports just went, hey, this isn't bad. I don't mind this. I want to give it a shot. I want to keep watching it. Like that to me was really cool.
Yeah, I think so. If we're talking like you want to give this a shot, want to watch this, there's so many, you know, obviously you have a lot. It's a union stronghold here in the U.S.
100%.
And you're always going to have those props and hookers and union who are going to miss their scrum downs, which is pretty much,
that's fine.
I'm like, that's fine. You can do that. I said, but I can't tell you the number of people who have reached out and said, where is there a team in Texas? Why can't I get rugby league in St. Louis? I'm in Michigan. What can I do? People reached out to us and, you know, reached out to the USARL as well, you know, just kind of like, where can we get involved? And not just that, it's like, okay, Arizona. One guy even said, well, I guess I need to get my coaching certification and maybe I should start with a youth league here and get a youth league organized. Like, and it's actively work, like trying to work with the PCRL to get a youth league.
Like, isn't that brilliant? Started. Yeah. I saw that conversation start on Twitter or X, yeah, so or whatever you want to call it. Is that the one?
So I commented on it. He's like, is there something in Arizona? I said, there's not, but you could start. And I think Ben Cavalier from the Barracudas reached out. And I was like, you know, get involved with PCR. And he reached out to him. And I think they're having conversations about how to get coaching certifications.
Incredible, man.
And the number of people, the number of players too. You know, there are former Major League Rugby players, the union here in the U.S., Major League Rugby, which is so confusing.
yeah. Let's not start on that one. That's another episode.
No, I don't even want to talk about that. It's just so weird. There are union players like, hey, I played for, you know, 4 years here. You know, I live in St. Louis. How can I get involved in, you know, with the chance to potentially play for the national team? And like, I know him as a player, and he's a great winger, like great winger, great fullback. So I was like, okay, like, let's see how we work this out. And it, what it does is it builds the player base even more in the US.
Yeah.
And it provides the ability for us to like start building out these teams more and more and more, and build out new locations and build out the domestic competition, which I think is one of the big, you know, the board of directors, we've sat down and we've talked about, you know, what is our strategy? And that's kind of some of the big things that we'll be releasing soon, is like, what's the strategy for growing the game here? I just got done building a nine page marketing plan for USARL.
Man, can we competition. We need to dig into this. What can you tell us here? Because I know, oh yeah, we'll talk about, we'll announce it soon, blah 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 blah. Like, there's got to be some nuggets that we can talk about now. I didn't stay up late to not talk about this with you.
Listen, I don't think there's anything that's surprising. Like, if you were to say, what do you need to do to help grow rugby league in the US, you could probably pick them up pretty quickly. Like, making sure we get all of our game stream. And this is just, these are just my proposals. Like, I think that, you know, making sure every team can get their game stream, making sure that we have, you know, an adequate website for match reports and, you know, scoring. Like, how great would it be to have a conference by conference scoring leader, like, to track and you know, create a player of the year, and, for USARL, you know, or just different things like that. Social media aspect, getting involved, not just content of like, hey, here's a match score, or, you know, here's stuff with our sponsors, but also just making sure that we tell the stories of the players and the men and women who are playing the game here in the US, because that's what's going to draw people in, I think, is being able to tell a story and generate good content around that. It's a key thing from my perspective, as we look at like what marketing needs to be in the US for rugby league. And then, of course, you know, working on grassroots. I mean, it's got to be a priority for us. One, it's part of, you know, trying to become a full member of the IRL so that we can qualify for the next World Cup. Is, you know, George Tupou and the folks out at Utah Junior Rugby League, they're doing fantastic. They've got nines, yeah. They've got 13s planned. Like, that is great. But we need that in the Northeast. We need that in Boston and Brooklyn. We need that in Jacksonville and other places. Like, it has to, you know, in California. It's got to be everywhere. It can't just be in one location. And so I think for that, like, that's part of like a plan. And of course, I think working, you know, I put in there, like, continue to work with the NRL to build out what the lead up to 2025 should be. Right? It doesn't need to be, it can't just be done in a silo. And I think the NRL learned that. I think a lot of the stuff that they did this past year was a silo. Like, the Nines guys, they were great. They reached out to myself and AD Cooney and some other, and others as well. Kind of like, hey, let's get your opinion, get your advice. You know, Mike Castle, you've had him on. Mike's a great guy.
Yeah, Mike's awesome.
And so, yeah, like Matt O'Brien and Brad Donald, like, they were all really great about, you know, communicating, what do we need here? Should we do this? Should we do this? And, you know, they ran a tight ship when it comes to running a nines tournament. Like, everything was like on time, precision and good to go. Cause that's what they do. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we've got another tournament in a couple of weeks coming up in Queensland. I'm like, oh, well, that's great. But I think from a USARL perspective, like, we're trying to just make sure that, you know, this new board it's a bigger board than we've ever had before. You know, we're looking for independent, you know, there's some names that have submitted that I cannot tell you about because we haven't voted on it yet, but there's some big names who have submitted to be an independent part of that, one of those independent directors, which is great. I mean, technically I am an independent director, but since I was voted on I was nominated by two different clubs, I'm now like part of, like, I'm not independent, like, even though I'm not affiliated with any.
Yeah, I was going to say you're pretty independent, but
pretty independent.
That's so good. Fine.
Yeah, I think it provides us a good opportunity to steer the right ship and do some interesting stuff in the coming years. And I think you'll see that. You know, we've got a meeting coming up next week where we're going to go through quite a few things. And so start, you know, putting in things in place that will be good for the sport moving forward here.
I love that despite you being nominated and elected to the board, you are continuing to record the podcast. And I think that's actually a critical piece because, man, I want to know what's going on at these meetings, what you guys are doing, what you're working on. Like, I want to hear about how the the cookie is made. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and I'm sure they're probably
going to walk that fine line.
Look, I have no doubt that there are people that are saying, nah, man, you shouldn't be doing the podcast. I have no doubt that that's happening. But to those people, like, get over it, man. Like, this needs to happen. Like, it's so important. Like, the visibility is actually huge, and it's actually going to help. So, like, if you're listening, let this man speak as much as he needs to. So that's fantastic. What I love about what's been going on as well, and what's happening now, and because of Vegas and with the new board and et cetera, is for the first time in a long time, there seems to be peace over there. So you've got PCRL, you've got the USARL South, even the United Rugby League guys, maybe it all seems to be coming back together. You've got Utah, you've got all these other places popping up. Everyone's friends again. And that's something that was, well, you know, I'm wearing a Cleveland Rugby League jersey. I don't know if yourself and Monty are on good terms. I love both of you, but I'm sure there's
we're not on cutthroat terms. We'll just say that.
Well, look, I'm wearing this for a reason, so hopefully he sees it and he reaches out and says, "Bro, like, let's just make shit happen." But there seems to be friendship again, and everyone just wants to grow the game over there, and that's what's beautiful.
And even if it's not friendship, because it might not be friendship, because I mean, there's still a lot of animosity, I'm sure. I mean, listen, with the whole NARL stuff, especially on the East Coast, and the whole CRL and the PCRL stuff that happened, California Rugby League.
Yeah, but all the Cali teams, bar one, are in the PCRL now, right? Pretty much.
As of today, yes.
As of today. What does that mean? Okay, wink, wink, for anyone listening.
as of today, all but one.
Okay.
I don't think, because the Immortals have just joined back with the PCRL.
Beautiful.
So I think you have two, because there's the Young Tigers as well. So
Young Tigers. They'll
forget about them.
They'll be back. But this is what I'm saying. It's all there, man. It's all happening, and there's just more happening. We need to see more conferences pop up, and I just love that. Utah's a perfect model. You know, you've got your four main clubs at the top. You've got your youth coming through. I don't know how they've done it so quickly. Maybe they've got some more backing and support from like the Hapawade family and stuff like that, but that has happened quickly. They've got the whole like Pacific Island community in Utah that really is backing
also,
it as well.
That also helps too. You have a lot of Samoans and Tongans over there too.
But we just need to see more and more of that, man. Every, like, you know, 100%. and then build layers on top of that, and then the national team on top of that. And it's just fucking exciting, man. It really is from afar anyway.
So thinking about this event, now I'm going to ask you questions about that.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm running out of battery. Let me plug in. Give me 1 second. Let me plug in, and then you can ask me anything you want.
Taking a small break here with Mr. Carboni.
All right.
No, you're good.
Plugged in, or jacked in, as you might say.
Jacked in. If you look at this, so everybody's, we've seen a lot of good and, we've seen some good press. We've seen some bad press around this. In the U.S., there's, I don't know if it was covered much. And, you know, that's kind of part of the issue with the NRL and the promotion of it. So I don't know who here, besides the small, you know, the group of people that were there, the people that follow, how much it was promoted. So I don't want to really talk on that. But as far as your perspective and what the feeling is in Australia, you said you were jealous. And I think that's a huge thing. Seeing everybody whose friends went over to Vegas were like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I am really like FOMO for everybody around the world. People like Brits were like, oh my gosh, I wish I was there. You know, Aussies, I wish I was there. Even some people here in the US are like, oh my God, like how fun would it be to be there right now? And people are like, we missed out. Do you think that carries over and that'll force more people next year?
Yeah, big time. 1,000%. Like, I knew it would be cool, but when I started seeing like videos of the fan days and the strip, and like, I was just, like I said, my WhatsApp feed, my Instagram feed, my TikTok feed, I was just like, fucking people in Vegas. And I'm like, man, this is like, dude, it was like, it's sort of a similar vibe to Magic Round in Brisbane, but like just bigger and better. Definitely bigger and better. The media hype was very real. Like, rugby league media was like all about it. We had like very high ratings. Both matches were rated very highly on Nine, Fox, KO. Yeah. And there was a lot of talk about it, and it helps that I'm pretty sure the NRL flew across a bunch of media. So they're obviously going to say nice things about the event when they're flying first class, thanks to the NRL. But everyone
I didn't get that. I didn't get that first-class invitation.
You should get it next time. And to be honest, you should be on the commentary team next time as well on Nine and Fox. 100%. We need an American accent there, but that's another side comment. But the hype was real. Everyone was talking about it. It wasn't back page newspaper. It was front page newspaper. Like, it was the biggest thing going on that week, in Sydney anyway, probably in Brisbane as well. And I think rugby league fans, for the first time, like, we had something that we could all be happy and proud about together. Whereas obviously rugby league fans always like fight about stuff, but we're all happy and proud about something. And it was amazing. Fans of other sports were kind of like, dude, like, you know, I kind of like can't believe it. A lot of AFL fans that I spoke to, and I don't speak to a lot, but it was kind of like, man, I can't believe you assholes pulled that off. You know, like it was a bit like that. And the AFL on the same week that just passed, they had an opening round in like Sydney and Brisbane, and it was like there was just not the hype. You know, there was not the hype that should have been there.
Turnout too, wasn't there? Like, I thought I read somewhere it was like lower than expected fan turnout.
It was lower than expected, but look, to be like, let's not shit on the AFL's numbers through the gates, because they shit all over any other sport in Australia when it comes to bums on seats. But in terms of ratings and in terms of it was not as big. And it's, how can it be? Like, what's bigger than like opening round in Vegas? Like, that's pretty sensational. But to be honest, apart from, you know, you've got AFL opening week, AFL opening week was like probably second in terms of sport news. NRL opening week was a resounding first, and there was just nothing else in sport. There was nothing else in sport here. So it was pretty phenomenal, man. It was a good vibe. We did hear about, you know, the Americans that were over there. We saw the low viewing numbers. What was it? 66,000. But I don't even know if that's.
Here's what I'll do. Right.
Tell me.
I'll do a quick comparison. Is it low numbers? Sure. Is it Fox Sports? It's on Fox Sports 1. So it's not the main Fox channel. It's not technically free. It is pretty much in every basic cable package, that's offered around the country. So I think from that standpoint, you know, when people are like, oh, the numbers were low, it followed a basketball game, which is, you know, we're March Madness for basketball here in the U.S. now. So this is like crunch time for everybody before we go play in the big tournament, which is, you know, kind of a, it's just a big time of the year. So these are like pivotal matches to decide who's going to get in or who's going to play in their conference championships and things like that. So it's very important. So that's like, well, the match before had so many, you know, went into overtime and it missed part of the match. Yeah, that's true. So that kind of hurts that we didn't pull some of those people in from that first match, the first match. But in the grand scheme of things, for not advertising, for not doing much of anything, for it being a 9:30 East Coast game, right? So, you know, this was a West Coast time zone, so 3 hours ahead. It was a 9:30 East Coast game. The second game was an 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Like people were in bed. But yeah, that's, you know, so I didn't expect. Go ahead.
I don't think it was even like American viewing figures was a consideration for the NRL. Yeah. That doesn't mean it shouldn't be. Like moving forward, it should be. But this time around, it certainly wasn't. So I don't know what people were expecting, but like, just, you know.
I didn't expect a whole lot. My parents watched it, which I thought was funny.
Well, that's good. Well, that's two people.
My parents were watching. Of course, they streamed all of the nines. My dad said we let the stream open all day long.
That's great. That's the best.
I was like, oh God, thanks, Dad. So, but yeah, it was, I mean, but he said, Mom is hooked on this right now, and I'm like,
that's mad.
Like, mom's a new fan of rugby league. But yeah, it's an interesting, you know, when you talk about like viewing numbers and stuff, like, again, I didn't expect a whole lot. Like, I didn't expect that, you know, but when you get into it, you know, next year could be bigger, should be bigger. Yeah, viewing numbers weren't considered. I don't, like, when you look at it, you know, it was the experience in stadium that I think was the main draw for people. You know, would it be great to be on regular free-to-air Fox? Absolutely. I mean, there was nothing on at that particular time. I don't know why they couldn't have worked it out. Now they are on Fox Sports 1. Great. That's so they get a couple extra matches a week on the main channel. It was the highest rated NRL event on American television history.
Ever, yeah.
It's not saying a whole lot. So, you know, it's usually on Fox Sports Plus. But in comparison, it was also the opening weekend of Major League Rugby Union in the U.S. and LA Sevens at the same exact time. Now, if we want to really compare stuff there, LA Sevens did not even get categorized because it was only streamed on Peacock, which is
NBC streaming sort of thing.
Yeah, it's NBC's streaming service. It was only streamed on Peacock. And in the stadium, I talked to people who were there the first day. You know, they had crappy weather, and so there wasn't not a lot of people showed up. The second day was beautiful and sunny and championship day. Somebody said there's no way there were more than 3,000 people there, like at LA Sevens, like, which is supposed to be this huge event because it used to be Vegas Sevens.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so it used to be massive. And you can go look at the photos from the stands. It was abysmal. And then when you compare it to the ratings or what you would get from Major League Rugby, you know, it's funny when people like compare things because somebody was like, well, NRL got 60,000 and the rugby league and the rugby union World Cup final got 2,553.
Yeah, I was like, saw that. What do you mean? Yeah.
They're like, well, in Major League Rugby had 200,000 viewers in their final last year. I was like, Major League Rugby has been around for almost 7 years now, right? 7 years to get a stronghold. And their viewership has dropped off by 30% at minimum every single year since its inception. The second year, you had 500,000 people watch the Major League Rugby final. Last year, their viewing numbers were 243,000.
Yeah, look, I think that it's
so
a better
comparing it is terrible.
it's a better comparison though. And look, I don't want to celebrate Major League Rugby viewership going down because those are the people we want watching rugby league as well. So So I don't want to celebrate that, but you know, it is a better comparison, man. Like, whatever that number was, I think people would have shit canned it over here. So that, like, if you can always find something to bag out, right? If you have that, yeah.
It's nothing better. And so, yeah, I think I joked on social media about the whole comparing it to the World Cup final. And I said, well, how many of those were expats?
Dude, insane.
Not just expats, but like expats from every country that plays rugby union. And like, give me a break. Like 500,000, like great. You had 500,000 people watch the final. Which the final, like not just a regular opening round match, like you just people are dumb, like they want to compare stuff like that. I'm like, God, whatever, like it's the joys of doing what we do.
Is what it is, man. People would have found something, you know. And look, overall, it was a success, if you ask me.
There was a sellout, and we had 2 million people. Like, well, it didn't compare to the NBA. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, man. But the NFL had, you know, 99 of the top 100 shows. What are you doing? Like,
Right. Give me a break. What I can tell you, you know, we talked about earlier. I wanted to go back real quick. Is when I walked around the concourse, and it was so cool. To see Eels jerseys, to see, you know, see Dragons jerseys, to see, you know, everybody, like, you know, Hulk KR. I mean, there were tons of Hulk KR jerseys there.
That's crazy.
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah. Like, and that was the funny thing. It's like, it was everybody. Everybody had their kits on. That was great. But then you had Las Vegas Knights. You had 49ers jerseys. I saw some.
Yeah, that's jerseys. Cool.
You know, I saw some, everything. I was like, okay, I see you. There's my Americans. Like, there's
that's
there's
actually the, good. Yeah,
the new lovers. Like,
that's how you can tell where they're from. You know what? Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
Like, we're gonna go to this sporting event. We have no idea what it's about, but we're gonna wear the team that we support. Like, yeah, Detroit. There's a Detroit Lions. A woman wearing a Detroit Lions jersey, and I went, "They're a bit far from home, ma'am." And she said, "Oh, it seemed like fun to be here." I'm like, "Yeah, fair enough. Like, you're just a sports fan." Like, because Americans are just sports fans. Like,
yeah,
like they follow. It's not, maybe it's not quite as, you know, there's not quite as back and forth like AFL and rugby league and union. You know, I don't know how much netball gets, you know, gets the bash heads in there or anything, but you know, or you know, the professional basketball down there. But here, I mean, fans of a sport will follow, or fans from a city. So if we'll just use like Cleveland for example, because that's where my family's from. They will follow baseball, basketball, football. So like they will follow every single team, like diehard passion, like diehard passion. You know, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you're a Texas Rangers fan, you're, you know, you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, all three major sports, you're a fan of each one of those teams in that sport. Like Americans will find a way to go after a sport if they really like it. If they can find a way to connect with the team from a locality, you know, if you have, you know, If Brisbane ends up wanting to partner with the Denver Broncos, you would have Denver Broncos fans now become Brisbane Broncos fans.
Yeah, and that's why like we don't get that right. People over here say, "Oh, you're never going to beat the NFL over there," and it's like, look, we're not trying to, and we'd be fucking stupid if we did. But because
the world's going to beat the NFL, by the way,
no one can, but we don't have to. We just, like you said, Denver Broncos fans will go for the Brisbane Broncos, and Dallas Cowboys fans will go for the North Queensland Cowboys.
Right.
We just need a Dragons team in the NFL. That's fine. We'll figure that out. An Eagles team in the NFL. We'll figure that out. But man, we don't get that over here, because for us it's like, oh no, what, you support rugby league? Oh, you support AFL? Oh, you support union? Like, it's we're not allowed to like each other for some reason. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But
it's fascinating.
You see some crossover in some sports. Like I see a lot of Parramatta Eels fans that also go for the Western Sydney Wanderers in the A League, our soccer league.
Yeah.
So you might see a little bit of stuff like that, but it's very rare, man. Very rare. We're crazy.
Well, I don't know how long you want to talk, because it's late for you, it's early for me, but I feel like we could do this for another 3 hours.
I also
want to be cognizant of like who's listening and how long they're listening.
I just looked up at the little time, the recording time, and it's almost an hour. So I'm like, holy shit, have we really done that? But I think
it's gone by like this, man.
Look, I'm happy to end it whenever you like, but I think one thing is for sure, we probably got to do this a little bit more often, you know, a little bit of a, you know, RLA / Chasing Kangaroos crossover.
Chasing Rugby League in America?
Rugby League in Chasing Hawks, something.
We'll work on that.
We'll figure it out.
As an early morning and a late night marketing mind come together, it's not always the best thing.
We'll figure it out, man. But hey, when you want to, like, I even thinking like when you want to talk about like news from the board and stuff like that, and you need someone to sort of ask you the questions, then I'm happy to come back and join you for those convos and hear it firsthand, man. That'll be mad.
And from like a news from the board type of thing, I think there is a desire for us from a board of directors standpoint, and this is like completely not related to the NRL right now, but to do something like with the PCR, like town hall, like let's talk about what, you know, what's on people's mind. Let's, you know, we want to make sure we get our minutes and things out to everybody so that people know, you know, at least like a recap, like here's what we discussed with the board of directors this week, you know, this month, you know, when we all met, here's what we're working on here, you know, is, you know, as high level as possible, because you want to give that to people so that they understand. So we want to do that. We'll see how that works out. Maybe you can come on and ask questions.
100%, man. Happy to do that, man. And it's important. The PCRL were the first to do it, and they are the guys. Man, AD and Ben and the guys behind PCRL have a lot to do with all of, like, everyone sort of coming together now as a sport over there. What they've done at PCRL is amazing. And I've told them personally, and I'll tell them publicly here as well. But the fact that those town halls, they're prepared to, if something goes wrong, they'll just own it and say, look, this went wrong and we'll do it better next time. And this is what we're planning, and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas in the past, it's been like, oh no, we can't. talk about what we did wrong, and it's a secret and no one knows what the hell's happening, and it's just not the way to be. And yeah. I love the way PCRL have done it. They've brought Utah in as well. I mean, they're essentially the biggest part of USARL now. You know, when you think about
the PCRL has a substantial number of teams.
They did it from just humble hard work and honesty, and I fucking love that they've done that, man. It's been fantastic to watch from afar.
Yeah.
Whew. That's a good place to end it as we tick onto the hour. Yeah.
This is awesome, man. It's actually kind of funny. So little impact that Carbs and I did record one time before. he thought I was gonna let go. And he mysteriously lost the recording. This was back in the early days of the NARL when I started talking about rugby league down in Austin, and we recorded, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning my time. I remember that. So it was fun. The lost episode, we'll call it.
I wish I had the footage, because I'm sure it was a wonderful conversation. And I know you keep hinting that I act like I've still got it somewhere, and I didn't want to release it, but it's definitely not the case. But that was the first time we spoke, and back then you were a rugby union podcaster, not a rugby league podcaster, you know. But like, I didn't hold that against you. We had a chat. Maybe that's why I lost the footage, by the way. No, but seriously, and since then, obviously, like I said, you've held the Chasing Kangaroos network together while I've been away, and I'm just so glad that you've been able to help us, man. I know when
you're back.
Well, I'm glad to be back too. But we mentioned
that allows me to announce that I am stepping.
No, that means we need to get Nate Gladden back out of hiding. He needs to come back as well. But when Nate sort of stood aside and stopped doing this, like I reached out to him and I said, man, we've got to keep this Rugby League in America brand alive, because you're the reason why you really helped me get started, you know? And he said, yeah, but how are we going to do it? And I'm like, well, I know a guy that can help.
I know a guy.
and here you are, man, and you've really very fucking been smashing it. That's
style,
why, man. That's how, that's how
I know a guy.
I bring people together. But man, you've smashed it, and I hope you just keep going, man, because people love hearing it, man. And I'm certainly one of your biggest fans every week.
Well, I appreciate that. We'll keep going as long as my wife allows me to.
Love it.
which could be, you know, who knows. We'll see. No, I think obviously, you know, with everything that we've been working on, you know, like it's hard. Like I know, listen, I can't do everything. You know, everybody's like, oh, when's the magazine coming out again? I'm like, oh yeah, that too. Like, oh, the website. Oh shit, that too. Like, oh, like all this other stuff. You're like, oh yeah, I got to get more and more and more involved. And so it's like, so.
Don't complain. You started all of those things.
I know.
So.
I set a really high standard for myself. Like social media posts. I will say, like at the date of this recording, there will be the final on the What If jersey. Like, because we had Vegas, and then I was just so tired after Vegas, I needed to step back a little bit. But the What If final on who's going to be the kit that won? Like, because I designed all the kits and stuff too. I'm like, yeah, I got to do that too. So he was like, who's going to win? I was like, well, we'll see this week. So that's coming out today. So,
love it.
Yeah. So. Mate, awesome. So good to sit down to talk rugby league with you, man. Like, honestly, like, you know, we'll give each other calls. Like, we also talked about doing, I don't know if you remember, like, we were both driving to work.
Oh, yeah, the driving episodes.
Yeah, in the car with Carbs and Dustin.
It would never work. There'd be too much noise, but, you know, it's good to dream.
Yeah, drive time is what I was like, oh, you got drive time. Like, and then I realized there's actually drive time on, like, over in the UK. It's a sports show, like, Fox Sports. Like, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Of course, I wasn't the first to think of that.
Wait, it's all, everything's been thought of before. Don't worry.
Well, I'll let you close in your closing, and then I'll close in mine, and then we'll call it a show.
Like I said, it's been a pleasure speaking to the Ray Warren of Rugby League in America. So, Dustin, thank you for chasing kangaroos with me.
And for Mr. Don Carbone, who is back on the airwaves, it's an absolute pleasure to finally sit down and record an episode with him where you all can enjoy us. Don't forget to follow everybody, Chasing Kangaroos and Rugby League in America, on social medias. And until next time, my name is Justin Zaire. This has been Rugby League in America.